You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Rick, in this section, I know you're going to have a lot of fun with this. We've got as our guest here in the studio, Holly Hanzarek, who works for you at Pruse, and she works in the reptile and small animal department, and she seems to have a couple of her friends with her. Hello, Holly. Welcome to the studio.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. Holly, can you tell us about your friends that you got wandering around there on you?
I have two female rats with me. One of them is a hairless, and her name is Matilda, and one of them is a regular smooth coat, and she's Madeline.
Okay. And most people don't understand. They're like, you have a rat with you. They might not understand what great pets that rats can make. Can you tell people about why people have rats and what they're like as pets?
Well, rats are naturally extremely social characters in the wild, and so when you bring them into a domestic situation, they basically crave interaction wherever they can get it from. And so if you own a singular rat, or even when you have multiple, they will basically divert all their attention to you and crave attention from you just like a dog would. So when you walk in your door and you come home from work and the dog comes up to greet you, rats can also be the same way. I walk in my house and they come up and they're hanging on the bars of the door, you know, door of their cage, like, please, come on. You know, they just want you to itch them and pet them and give them treats, and they beg just like a dog does. So they're very, very socially minded creatures.
Really? And from a trick standpoint, can they be taught to do tricks like dogs can?
Not like really cool tricks, but they are litter box trained. So in their cage, I have a litter box, and they go in there to go to the bathroom like a cat would. So that's nice. And then, as far as like getting them to sit or do anything special, I can make them walk like the tightrope through their cage to get to a treat. And other than that, they just think I'm crazy. So
yeah, I know. I know when we had the cash register and the rat at the same place. We have a store pet, and we always have had for years a store pet that's a rat, and he's on the counter at the reptile department. But we've had rats in the past, and they still do this, but they don't grab dollars because there's no dollars going over the counter. But when we did have him on the counter, he'd run down there and grab a dollar, pull it up, and pull in his cage. So it was always fun to watch. And
yeah, they'll steal just about anything they can get their hands on. They're funny. They hide your keys. They take any food you leave laying around. So you got to be pretty careful about
it. And what's really cool about them is that they tend to be family pets. And one of the problems that we have at the store is that people are generally naturally attracted to animals that may make a good pet or maybe not so good of a pet. And so rats are one of those things that need a little bit of extra broadcasting because they are such an exceptional pet. We sell a lot of small animals. We sell hamsters, gerbils, and some other exotic animals. But we do a lot of recruitment for rat owners, and we always get real positive feedback from it. As you can see, Holly's working with the rats there, and you can tell they're companions, and that's what's really important. It doesn't have to be somebody that is, 21 years of age. You know, a 9 or 10 year old boy finds rats to be fantastic. I mean, Holly, why don't you tell us what is the average age, or what would be an appropriate age that one might want to get a rat, and what would be maybe too young?
Well, I think it depends a lot on the amount of effort that the parents are going to put in, because cleaning the cages and sanitizing is, of course, going to be a responsibility that the parents are going to have to help with. But I have a 4-year-old niece, and she comes over and plays with my rats. It's just a matter of working with the child so they know the appropriate ways to handle them. These guys don't really like to be squeezed and held onto like that. They prefer just to kind of run all over and sit on your shoulder. Mine sleep in my hoodie pockets and in my hood, but I think they're great for children of all ages. I would probably recommend ages 6 and up as far as just knowing appropriate handling techniques, but as far as supervised interaction, they're not, they're pretty predictable creatures. So,
how long do rats typically live, and are there variants between the different types?
It's generally an average of 2 to 3 years. They're not very long lived, which is sad in the respect that they're you know, they have pretty big personalities, so you get really attached to them. But it's almost nice in the way of if you're looking for something but not a really long-term commitment because you don't know where you're going to be, or a lot of college kids find that appealing because you know you're not going to have to move with them like you would with a cat or a dog when you get a new job and things like that.
I find that even with families that come into our store and they're thinking about a pet for their child that's maybe 12 years old, and sometimes they'll pick an animal that will live 15 years. And too often, the children, when they become college students or adults, oftentimes live in areas that won't let pets at all. So then we have parents that are raising their child's animal. And in some cases, that might be a good way to kind of prevent anxiety when you know, that empty nest syndrome. But in other situations, you know, that's not exactly what they signed up for. So I wouldn't want to wish the end of life of any animal, but because it has to happen, and with this, it's 2 or 3 years of age, it can make kind of that perfect pet.
What kind of food do these rats typically eat?
There's a lot of specialized diets for them. We make one of our own at the store. We try and put as much diversity in there as possible to kind of keep them entertained. They have a very wide palate in the wild, so having them basically have more entertainment in the food bowl, I guess, keeps them from chewing on their cage and toys and things like that. So we use everything from regular lab blocks to a supplement called Monkey Chow, which is basically just a vegetable protein pellet and some dried noodles and things in there for carbohydrate intake. And they just, anything that's different, diverse, dried fruits, dried vegetables, anything like that, it's very healthy for them.
And in terms of the space that you keep them, when you go on vacation, what do you have to board them like you would a dog, or are they like a cat where they might be able to stay in a home by themselves? Help me understand that a little bit.
Depending on how long you're gone, if you're gone for like 2 days, just making sure they have adequate food and water before you leave is fine. That since they are kept confined in the cage, you don't have to worry about basically them getting into trouble. But if I was going to be gone for, you know, 4 or 5 days, I'd probably ask a friend to stop by, make sure they don't, sometimes they can knock their water bottle free from the side of their cage, so you don't want them to go without water. Also, just they crave that interaction. They're used to you coming home every day and playing with them and socializing with them, so they can get pretty desperate for interaction from you. So having someone stop by the house, or if you don't have anyone to do that, just drop off the cage somewhere. And I mean, they're portable pets in that fashion because they are caged.
Right.
And something that I thought about while we were sitting here is that Holly is the coordinator for birthday parties and oftentimes conducts some of the birthday parties at our store. Why don't you comment a little bit about it? Because sometimes these rats come out for part of the birthday party. Why don't you talk a little bit about how kids react to these and parents react to these guys and how you kind of change things?
Well, they are definitely one of the keystone pets at the birthday parties. They do great in the social situations like that. I can take them into a room with 20, 30 little kids, and they do just fine with excitement that goes along with that. The parties do hands-on animal presentations, so we take back between 5 and 7 animals, usually something really cool like our hedgehogs, and our we have like a 3.5-foot savanna monitor, some boas, and Madagascar hissing cockroaches are usually the squirmer that everybody freaks out for, but the rats are generally accepted by everybody, and they seem to be the most social, so they're one of the few that I can be like, okay, here, and everybody kind of passes them around. Everyone gets to hold them. Everyone gets to pet them versus some of the other exotics. You have to be a lot more cautious about how the kids interact with them. With these guys, they pretty much love everybody. So
yeah, I can tell just by how they're responding to you. How about the other animals in the home? If I were to bring them home and say I had cats or other animals, what kind of interaction goes on there? Do they get along, or are they natural enemies like you might assume?
I guess it kind of depends on the other animals. I would say in the respect of the rats, they're pretty accepting of just about anybody. My rats really don't care about who's in there. I've had them ride on the back of the dog before. They walk around the house that way. The dog really tries to groom them all the time, and they're like, all right, leave me alone, and they try and hide under stuff. And the cat likes to sit on the corner and creepy stare at them, but they don't seem to mind him kind of stalking them. He comes right up to them, and he'll sniff them, and they'll sniff him back, and then he walks away. So I think for the most part, interaction-wise, rats are very socially acceptable of any species, and as long as you kind of properly introduce them to the other animals in the home, you can expect a pretty good
What about
relationship?
What about grooming? Are there any grooming issues that go on with rats? I mean,
they do occasionally need to be bathed, especially with the kind of almost scaly, dry skin on their tails. They produce a lot of natural oils, especially the males. So bathing them and bathing the tail is generally about every 2 to 3 weeks, and that's just a real shallow bath. I usually do it right in the sink or in a little Tupperware container, about an inch of warm water. And they, in the wild, are really, really good swimmers. They can dive down to the bottom and pick up stuff. But just getting them used to it in a captive situation can take a little while. But our rats seem to really like it. With the hairless, she produces a lot more oils than a regular rat would. So I bathe her every couple days so she doesn't get, basically they can get a buildup of oil on their skin and get rashes and ingrown hairs and infections, stuff like that. So it's a little bit more high maintenance for something like that. But for your typical rat, they do a lot of their own grooming, just like your cat would. So if you think of how often you'd bathe your cat, that's generally how often you'd bathe your rat, other than the tail on the males gets a little bit oily.
Interesting. Well, for anyone who wants to see rats and talk with Holly about them, come into Pruce Pets in Old Town, and she'll be glad to share with you all of her experience and her passion for these fun little creatures she's got here with us. Thank you, Holly. We've been talking with Holly Hanzarek from Pruce Pets, and thank you very much for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Thank you, Holly.
This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. When we return, we're going to talk with Jennifer Lesperance from the Kitten Nursery in Williamstown.